translation.
O Supreme Controller, your lordship previously accepted incarnation as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, nourishing a Dave, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramchandra, Parashurama, and among the demigods, Vamanadeva, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now, please protect us, again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has a particular mission to execute.
And this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki in the family of the Yadus. Thus all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requested the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer him our obeisances, as advised in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyayi
Mam Namaskuru,
and pray to him for annihilation of dangers.
Supreme Controller, your lordship
previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, a Shingadev, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramchandra, Parashurama, and among the demigods, Vamanadeva, protect the entire world by your mercy. Now, please protect us again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna,
best of the Yadus,
we respectfully offer
our obeisances
unto you. So here they summarize their purpose.
So first they recount all the previous times the Lord has come in so many different ways for his
purpose to diminish the burden of the world, whatever and
wherever
decline of religious principles,
irreligion arise
and appear.
So
these are different pastimes of Krishna. Matsya, Ashwa, Kachapa, Srinha, Raha,
Hamsa.
Those are very specific.
Rajanya
means
as a
king, royal order.
So many saintly kings are there,
like Ramchandra, that he incarnated.
Rajanya,
Vipra, and among the Brahmanas,
like Parashurama.
Ramana,
Dibu, Dibuda,
among the Devatas,
like Vamanadeva,
Devata,
Pitavatara, you
made your
descent
in all these different ways. One long big compound,
Matyasra, Kachapa,
Mishinda,
and so on.
Varaha,
Hamsa, Rajanya, Vipra, Vibhudeshi.
In all these different positions, you
created your.
So they're remembering. He came
so many times.
Now he's come again.
Dvam Pasivam. Please save us.
Dvam Pasinas. Please
save us.
Tribhuvanacha. And the three worlds. Please save us, and please save the three worlds. Yata, just as you have in the past, and the three worlds, aduna. Aduna means now, Isha, O Lord. Now, please save us, and the three worlds also. Bharam Bhuvohara, and remove the burden of the earth. And then they... Yadutama, O best of the Yadus. Now he's in the Yadu dynasty. O best of the Yadus.
Varanamte, we offer our prayers to you. It's very nice. Varanamte, they end up with this appeal. So Prabhupada says here, so they know he has also this particular mission. In every case, the history is there, how the Lord saved the how he saved the devatas, established religious principles that we've discussed before. This is actually, in one sense, it is the business of the Lord as Vishnu. He's a maintainer of the cosmic order. So the material world has got a dual purpose. One is to allow rebellious living entities to satisfy their desires. And the second purpose is to bring them back to Godhead at the same time. So these are a little in conflict. Actually, they're a lot in conflict. And so you end up with two groups. You end up with the devotees and the demons, the demigods and the demons, Sura and Asura. So they have different interests. So the devotees are those who want to serve the purposes of the Lord. And the whole business, the whole cosmic creation, everything is put here for a reason, and the reason is to funnel living entities out and bring them back to Godhead for reformatory activities. So that's why the cosmic manifestation is maintained. And so Krishna goes to so much trouble to do that. He takes Lord Brahma, he gives him the Vedas, he creates the system of Varnashram Dharma. Everything is set up. It's not like an arbitrary thing. There's an established order arranged by Krishna for this purpose. And so in civilized life, the rules and regulations are passed down in such a way that people can make some progress back to Godhead. The notion that the rules and regulations of human culture are arbitrary human inventions is wrong. They're actually invented by Krishna. So there's a standard, a normative human civilization. And the whole thing is set up by Krishna. But those people who are demons, who remain incorrigible. Incorrigible means not amenable to correction. Those who are demigods, even the demigods, they have an enjoying spirit. They're called Sakama, devotees of material desire. They have something of an enjoying spirit. But still they're devotees. So they are submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they carry out his orders to maintain that cosmic manifestation just according to the will of the Lord. But the demons are different. The demons' business is they think that we can run the universe a better way. I think there's so many mistakes and errors in the way Krishna set it up, and that if we can take it over ourselves and replace the demigods, we can make this material world like the kingdom of God without God. They don't want to go back to Godhead. Instead, they think they can sufficiently improve the conditions here in the material world to make it nice. And they can lord it over and run things better. So they're essentially hijackers. They want to hijack the whole creation and use it for their own purposes. That's their aim. So there's always a conflict from the very beginning. There's been this big battle of the light and darkness, of the demigods and the demons. So in this conflict, it says that just as when you rub two pieces of wood together, fire comes out, so out of the friction between the suras and the asuras, Krishna comes out. Because he intervenes whenever the asuras get the upper hand. Because really, they just on the material basis, they can do a good job. Because it's more ruthless. You can get very efficient that, anyone disobeys you, you just pull a bullet in the back of their head and then everything is efficient. Everyone's terrorized and you get good production and submissive employees and so on. You just have no scruples about how you manage things. So when you had somebody like Hiranyakashipu with his terrorist tactics, he ran the universe very well. He deposed Indra, the demigods went into exile, they became refugees. And it said that the universe was, affairs were going on better than when the demigods ran it, because everyone was so terrified of them. So this efficiency is there, at least in the short run, it's there. But the purpose is subverted. The purpose is subverted. And Krishna intervenes over and over again. Matya, Ashva, Kachapa, Nishinga, Varaha, Hamsa, Rajanya, Vipra, and so on. All these avatars are there. He comes and he fixes it up. It's like the secret weapon of the devatas. Otherwise, the devatas would lose. So we have to depend. We are on Krishna's side. At least this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for, again, of course, this time, also in the category of Vipra, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can look to the future from this perspective. He comes as Vipra, as a Brahmana. And his method is the Sankirtan movement, again for redressing the balance. Otherwise, we see everything is going pretty quickly. Again, no one will get out of the material world. It has been stopped. Any progress out, people are coming back. No one's getting released. Very simple. Precepts of morality are just decided to be convention and so on. You can see that things are decaying as demoniac, godless philosophies become more and more in control. Then people are doing so many evil deeds, all in the name of morality even. So they don't know anything. So Lord Chaitanya has come also and recruited us to for this mission. Lord Chaitanya's representatives have come among the demonic population and canvassed to make get devotees out of there. And then to assist in this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're asking, Tampasinasti Bhuvanacha, please protect us and protect the three worlds and remove the burden of the earth, these things. And so, of course, we can't order him, as Prabhupada says here, but we can ask him for the annihilation of dangers. Simply offer him obeisances, huh? Vadanam te, we offer our prayers to you. And they're offering obeisances to him. So they're fulfilling this injunction Manmana Bhava, always think of me. It's Krishna's simple request. Manmana Bhava, always think of me. Madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyayi, worship me. Mam Dharas Guru, and offer your obeisances unto me. If you do this, then I will give you all protection. And pray to him for the annihilation of dangers. I wanted to talk about this. It's a very interesting purport. Why should a devotee pray for the annihilation of dangers? Here we are looking for the protection of Krishna. Krishna gives the devotee assurance. If you surrender to me, I shall give you all protection. But a devotee surrenders to Krishna ultimately simply because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The final reason, really, one, that's two reasons. One, it's what is to be done. If I simply recognize Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am his part and parcel, then surrendering to him is what is to be done. That is the right thing to do. That goes by the name of dharma, or duty. Sarva dharman puritjaja mamekam saranam bhaja. My real duty, the duty I have to perform, because it is right, because Krishna is in fact the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am in fact his part and parcel, then I do my duty. Duty is that which we do no matter what the consequences may be. If one has a duty, he executes that duty. I mean, this is a concept that is so rapidly disappearing. Because I say, duty means, people will say, well, if I do my duty, what will happen? No, your duty is you do it no matter what happens. You don't make the calculation, will it be advantageous or will it not be advantageous? It must be done. It must be done. Well, that's what duty means. It means that there's a certain obligation that is there, and that obligation you have to fulfill. That's one reason why we should surrender to Krishna, because it is my duty. The second reason that we need to surrender to Krishna, is because we love Krishna, because actually he is all attractive. That when you're surrendering to Krishna, you're surrendering to someone who's so wonderful that you cannot conceive of anybody higher or greater. And the third reason that we should surrender to Krishna is that Krishna gives the assurance that if you surrender to me, you will be completely safe and at peace. You don't have to worry anymore. He says, Masutraha, there is no more anxiety. So he gives this assurance. Because we worry that when I surrender to somebody, that means I depend upon them. But sometimes we have seen, we have surrendered to people and depended upon them, and then they have let us down or not given us protection. So we hesitate to surrender, or we do it, but in our hearts we don't really do it, and we're watching out for our own interests on the side. But Krishna wants us to surrender fully to him, 100%. And so therefore he offers assurance, I will protect you. So there's a verse describing pure devotees. Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, is nishkama. He has no desires. Atta eva shanta. And therefore, he is peaceful. The result of surrendering to Krishna is one becomes free from all material desires and therefore peaceful. The demigods are actually praying to become peaceful. So, atta eva shanta. But others, bhukti mukti siddhi kani sakale ashanta. But those who are bhukti mukti siddhi kani, they're described, they want bhukti. Bhukti means material enjoyment. That may be following some religious path, but they're after something for themselves, bhukti, sense gratification, or mukti, liberation. These are the Mayavadis. Or siddhi, those practitioners of yoga who want mystic powers, they want to become supermen and wow the crowds. These are described as kamis. They have material desires. The desire for mukti is material desire. People want mukti because they want peace, but ashanta, they're not peaceful. So Prabhupada says here, the devotee of Lord Krishna has no desire. So he's going to describe here desirelessness. The devotee of Lord Krishna, because I want to understand how this desirelessness relates to the conviction that Krishna will always protect me. This is one of the steps. There's six phases or aspects to full surrender, which is called Sharanagati. So one of those aspects is having full conviction that Krishna will always protect me. I accept everything that is favorable to the devotional service. I reject everything that is unfavorable. I have the conviction. I accept Krishna as he will always maintain me, and he will always protect me. These are different aspects of full surrender. Always feel oneself humble, and there's one more I can't think of right now. It'll come to me. But anyway, that's one. What is it? Raksha Yashiti. He will always protect me. Anyway, that's... He will always protect me. Krishna will always protect me. So there cannot be Sharanagati, there cannot be full surrender to Krishna without this conviction that Krishna will always protect me. So Prabhupada is describing this here. He says, the devotee of Lord Krishna has no desire other than serving Krishna. Even so-called liberated people are full of desires. Fruitive actors desire better living accommodations, and jnanis want to be one with the Supreme. So that's calm. That's a desire. Yogis desire material opulence, yogic perfection, and magic. All of these are lusty, kami. Because they desire something, they cannot have peace. So the question is, are we therefore going to Krishna because we desire protection? And the answer is, no, it's not. So he explains. The peace formula is given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So here they're praying for the peace of the whole universe. Give us peace, give the whole universe peace. The peace formula is here in Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam jnatvamam shantam richati. If one can understand that the only supreme enjoyer is Krishna, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, the only supreme enjoyer is Krishna, one will perform all kinds of sacrifices, penances, and austerity in order to attain Krishna's devotional service.
Krishna is the Supreme Being, the proprietor of all the material worlds. Therefore, throughout the entire universe, he is the only enjoyer and beneficiary. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The only proprietor. So you have to recognize Krishna in these ways. The enjoyer of everything, the owner of every place, and Suridam Sarvabhutanam, and the friend of all. He is the only friend who can actually do good to all living entities, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. So if one understands Krishna, he immediately becomes desireless, nishkama. Because a Krishna bhakta knows that his friend and protector in all respects is Krishna, who is able to do anything for his devotee. This is really interesting, that desirelessness comes from knowing that Krishna is able to do everything for his devotee. So how can that be desireless if I have this consciousness? Because then won't I be going to Krishna because he can do everything? Oh, here I go to the guy who can do everything for me. So why does Prabhupada call this nishkama, desireless? Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati, O son of Kunti, declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. Since Krishna, listen to this sentence, since Krishna gives this assurance, the devotee lives in Krishna and has no desire for personal benefit. The background for the devotee is the all-good himself. Why should the devotee aspire for something good for himself? His only business is to please the Supreme by rendering service as much as possible. A Krishna bhakta has no desire for his own personal benefit. He is completely protected by the Supreme. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palana. Bhaktivinod Thakur says that he is desireless, that is, the devotee is desireless because Krishna will give him protection in all circumstances. It is not that he expects any assistance from Krishna. He simply depends on Krishna just as a child depends on his parents. The child does not know how to expect service from his parents, but he is always protected nevertheless. This is called nishkama, desirelessness. So this is very interesting, kind of transcendental psychology. So the idea is that we have to feel that our interests are completely being taken care of by Krishna, because Krishna wants us to serve him as much as possible. Therefore, we should not be diverted to making any independent arrangements. In other words, we make all arrangements for service of Krishna, and everything we do has to be in the furtherance of our service to Krishna. Now, when I do that, when I get the indication, this is what Krishna wants me to do, I may worry about, well, what about this, what about that, what about this, what about that. Krishna says, don't worry. Krishna says, don't worry. And the devotee thinks, well, this is Krishna who says, don't worry. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't have to worry. So I don't have to divert my attention from Krishna consciousness to some other department. So I have many branched intelligence. My focus has to be one. So I have to completely depend upon Krishna with that confidence that Krishna will take care of me. In other words, I am relieved from the worry of my future, because my future is in Krishna's hands. And I trust him that whatever that future may be, that's the best. So now I can just serve Krishna freely. I don't have to worry about my future. Krishna's got that future taken care of. So he says, it is not that we are expecting any assistance. We're not doing this in order that Krishna, I want this, I want that, I want. So I'm surrendering to you so that you will give me this. No, I'm surrendering to you completely because you've already assured me that you'll take care of whatever I need. Your plan will be best for me. So I'm not thinking that I should get this. So he, Prabhupada gives the example, it's like, depends on Krishna, like a child depends upon his parents. In other words, a child